This podcast is supported by the original organic bedding and bath brand, Koyuchi.
Koyuchi has spent 35 years pioneering quality organic textiles, long before the word organic became, you know, trendy. But words matter to Koyuchi. Words like craftsmanship, longevity, and wellness. So what does the word wellness mean to Koyuchi? It means that all of our products are absolutely free from harsh chemicals and dangerous toxins that can seep into your skin. It means effortless style that looks as good as it feels with naturally breathable, pre-washed organic cotton. And what does all of that mean to you? Well, it means that you can sleep well in Koyuchi's crisp, cool, luxuriously soft sheets that are ethically made and made with you in mind. Live well, sleep well with Koyuchi. Get 15% off your first order when you visit koyuchi.com. That's koyuchi.com to get 15% off. Koyuchi.com.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Welcome back to another episode of Who Am I to Judge podcast. I'm Alexis.
I'm Samantha. Welcome back, everybody.
Hey, y'all. We had to take a week off because Samantha had COVID.
Yes,
she was bedridden, y'all. We didn't know she was going to make it.
Yes, it was bad, guys. It was bad. Wear your mask out there. You do not want this. I mean, I'm testing a negative now and I'm feeling better. Like, every day that goes by, I feel a little bit better, thank God, but it was bad. Like, y'all know that I don't play about our podcast, and I try not to miss it, but I literally, it wouldn't have been any fun for anybody. Like, I would have been coughing and sneezing every 2 seconds, and like, no, it would just not
been great. We all need a break here and there, so it's okay.
Yes. How are you, Alexis, even though we've been talking all day?
Exhausted, as you know. I am a single dog mom today. Well, this week. Well, starting on Friday, maybe? No, Saturday until Wednesday. So I'm just like, I have bags under my eyes. I am just tired.
Girl, she yawning on the beginning.
I am. I'm tired, but, you know, two dogs is a lot. You know, I had to do this for a couple years in Austin with Mello, but two dogs changes the game. So I'm just tired. But we have so much to talk about.
Yes, we do. All right, Alexis, who is on trial this week?
Okay, I want to first talk about Northwest. Northwest is on trial. Okay, so
Kim Kardashian.
Kim Kardashian, I guess we should say.
She's a minor, so
yes, that's right. We can't talk about the children. So basically, North and Kim are they in Paris? They're in Europe. They're somewhere in Europe.
They were in Rome.
Okay, they're in Rome. And there was like a bunch of pictures. One in particular was North in a bustier. And like, and then also a corset, like her boobs were pushed to the heavens. Okay. And then also she had a finger piercing. And so a lot of
people.
A short skirt, yes, and platforms. And so a lot of people, you know, had a lot to say because this is a 12-year-old, a newly minted 12-year-old. Let's start there. She turned 12 in June, I believe. And so it's just like, this was someone who was 11 years old not 2 months ago and is wearing a corset with their boobs pushed up, a mini skirt, platforms, and it has a piercing on their finger, middle finger at that. And so I just feel like I have a lot of thoughts. Here are my thoughts. And then Samantha, you can, I'm curious of yours too. But I think it's completely inappropriate. Like, I don't know. Like, there's nothing anyone can tell me that makes me think this is appropriate. As a person who was a teacher, like, and as a person who has been 12, this is inappropriate. Like, there is not a situation where a 12-year-old should want to wear a corset, your mother should want you to wear a corset, and your mother should want you to be portrayed in a way where your boobs are pushed up. Like, with a mini skirt, there is no world where I would want to see my daughter in there at 12, and I would want my daughter to dress like that at 12. Let kids be kids. And I feel like, and the ring, the piercing on the finger is also a problem to me. Like, one, I'm just like, we're growing. Your fingers are growing. This is not like your ear where it's just cartilage. Like, this is it's sitting on a bone, you know, that's growing. And I'm just like, yeah. To me, it's completely inappropriate. And I remember I actually back, like, when I was like 21, wanted a finger piercing, and I like did a bunch of research and stuff. And one thing I like learned was that I did a bunch of research on it because I was very close to getting it. But one thing I learned was that a lot of piercers were like, we do not like recommend this piercing if you're not like a person who has a lot of piercings, because it's on your hand. It's very easily infected. And then it's also just like super easy to get rejected, and it's always issues. So with that knowledge and context, knowing that a 12-year-old has this, it's just completely irresponsible to me. One, that a piercing person would do it. And two, that a mother would want such a risky piercing on, again, a 12-year-old. And so to me, like, this is the last thing I'll say. It's funny because Courtney was over this weekend, and Courtney was like, but why, like she was kind of just like, why is it inappropriate that like she's wearing this? Like, it's just like, we shouldn't be like, basically it's like, the problem is that society places like these narratives on North rather than North in the, like, rather than the problem being North in it. I understand Courtney's viewpoint, but at the end of the day, I feel like this is a grown person's outfit. At the end of the day, even if we take all of the projections off of North, this is a grown woman's outfit. You could see this person who's a 20-year-old in this outfit. Why would you want a 12-year-old in it? And just like Courtney also brought up, like, well, if it was on like a skinnier person or someone with no boobs, people wouldn't care. And I'm like, I actually think people would still care because they're a 12-year-old. Like, I get the point. Like, for bigger girls, there's a different type of policing. And I'm not saying she's big, but just more developed. But I still feel like there's nothing anyone can tell me that this is appropriate for this type of person.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely agree, just because it's like, first of all, you have so much time to be an adult, to like, you know, accentuate, you know, your curves and stuff. I feel like it's just good to have, it's healthy, I think, to have that period of time where it's not about that at all. Like, you know, like you're just covered up, like you're just like, you know, it's just not about that. And I just, as a girl, even if I was 12 and maybe I don't understand the full context of like how disgusting the society is, I still had a mindset of like, oh, I look cute, or like, you know, like I'm looking like I like how my boobs look, or like, you know, whatever. Like, I feel like she's still in her body, and it's like, this is definitely giving very just grown and sexy. Like, her boobs really were pushed up, and
they were pushed up,
and to be out and walking around and, you know, having your hair like be super long and your boobs out and like, you know, your
you have short your ring skirt. You have the piercing on your middle finger. I'm sure you're sticking your middle finger up. Let's be fucking real.
She definitely is sticking her middle finger. I mean, the Kardashians in general, first of all, I knew that they were gonna probably have some wilder kids because they were wild.
Yes,
you know,
they were,
like
yes.
They were cussing their mom out and like you
having
know.
Boys upstairs in the bedroom. Okay, Kylie and Kendall. I remember that episode. Bruce went off.
Yeah, so, you know.
Oh, sorry, Caitlin. Woo! Caitlin.
Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Off.
I mean, he was Bruce then.
Yeah.
But I just feel like, yeah, I knew that they probably would be cussing earlier and, like, you know, like, would just be getting away with stuff. Like, you know, yeah. Running away. I mean, Kendall and Kylie, I'm pretty sure they took a private plane to Vegas to like get their belly button pierced or something. Like,
oh God.
You know, so it's yeah. just like I was expecting stuff like that. However, basically 11, like, you know, 12 and you're still very much a child. And like you said, being a teacher, even being at the studio and being around 12-year-olds, it's just like they need guidance. Like, they don't always know best. Like, they're, mm-hmm. like, they think they're, that's, like, the age where you, like, are starting to think you're grown. And it's just, like, you know, listen to mom because mom or whoever, like, they are, they know. Like, they know that you're going to have a lot, you're yeah. going to have so much time to be
and
sexy
I feel like
and worried about your body. It's
I
like,
agree.
This is the time to be a kid.
I wonder if, like, okay, I have, like, so many thoughts from the things you said. These are all great points. One, I feel like it reminds me of this TikTok I saw, and I think I sent it to you about somebody had asked on TikTok, like, who are the it girls of Disney Channel right now? Like, who are the it girls of Nickelodeon? And someone basically stitched it and was like, there are none. This is why. Like, mm-hmm. nowadays, like, there's no tween media. There's no marketing to yes. someone that's, like, in their tweens. And because mm-hmm. of that, tweens now are looking at, like, YouTube streamers or influencers on TikTok. Like, they're looking up to, like, they're watching Love Island.
India
like,
Love.
Yeah, like, they're just looking
yeah,
at content.
Love Island.
They're just Grown looking at shit. Content that is, like, way more, like, marketed for Grown. More so like early 20-year-olds rather than tweens because there's no media and marketing for tweens anymore.
Yes.
And I feel like the result of that is that people at their tween age act more grown or interested in more things that are more grown. Like, because I was just like, this is the Kardashians. They have all the money in the world to wear any designer the coolest shit. They could get North a whole tween wardrobe that's the cutest little shit from Gucci, Prada, Fendi, all of that. But instead, she wants to wear a fucking corset and y'all allow her and her boobs are pushed to the fucking heavens. It's just like, I feel
I mean,
like
I don't think Kim has that much control.
But regardless, you permit it. Even if you have no control, you have accepted that whatever she's going to put on, I have to accept then. And so regardless, as a mother, it is shocking to me. But I feel like, back to my point, I feel like part of the reason for this is because there is no, like, there's nothing for tweens to look up to or yeah. to, like, identify with. So they're just looking
at
older
shit. I mean,
they
are almost the tweens. Like, you right. know what I'm saying? Like, but yeah. I don't think tweens are even looking at that. Like,
no,
Blue
I think they're looking.
Or,
no,
they're mm-mm. looking at yeah, like,
Love Island. They're looking at
I mean,
YouTube
TikTok,
streamers, TikTok, yeah, yeah.
like mm-hmm. of 20-year-old people mm-hmm. that are in their 20s,
mm-hmm.
and
DDG,
thirties,
yes,
like, you know. And so it is sad to me because that time. First of all, I value that time so much of like not caring that much about, like, I mean, 11, like 11, 12, yeah. like seventh grade, like we were,
or maybe
not...
we cared, but we cared about wearing Delia's jeans, you know, we cared about wearing limited two shit. We didn't care about getting
accentuating
a finger piercing.
Boobs.
Yeah.
And then also, yeah, the finger piercing is crazy. Like, you should have just said no to that. Like, it's just like, but that's what I'm saying. I don't think that she, I think that she, like, has kind of lost a little bit of control.
But what do you mean by lost control? Because I'm like, okay, I get, like, okay, whatever. She probably, North probably has access to, like, online buying shit, right? But a piercing legally has to, like, under the age of 16, you have to get a signature. So it's just like when I got my nose piercing at 15. No, I don't know. I just feel like if I'm the piercer, I would be too scared of legal trouble if I didn't see Kim Kardashian's name on that shit. Like, I don't know. Like, I just feel like there, I just feel like that type of thing, Kim had to have signed off on it. And so that's why I'm just like, that is something you could easily just be like, I'm not signing the fucking papers, bitch. Like, and if someone pierces you, I'm suing them, you know, like I didn't consent. Like, she clearly consented.
Who knows who she spends her time with? Like, you know, maybe.
And if the nanny's signing off on piercings, good Lord, y'all have given the reins too much to nannies. I'm sorry. That's crazy.
Yeah. And she does have, I mean, I don't think Kylie or Kendall would like do that, but like, you know, she has older, family members. Either way, she has that piercing and it is crazy First of all,
you're in seventh grade and your teacher's looking at your fucking hands and you have a fucking piercing on it. It's embarrassing.
Just, it's like, it's just, regardless of all that stuff, it's just unsafe. Like, you don't, I'm sure she's probably not the most graceful. You know, it's like that thing can get snagged so easily on
absolutely.
On anything. And like you said, like, just being a kid, she is a kid at sleepovers or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's just like that could easily just get infected, or you might not be thinking about it.
I mean,
too
in
much
fucking and, gym class, somebody accidentally throws a ball at your hand, hit your, like, it's just even little things like that that happen in schools, you know, like someone accidentally stomps on your hand when they're getting up, you know, like,
it's
irresponsible.
I think that is a big, and that's also just introducing her to stuff. It's okay to make your kid wait until they're old enough.
Like, so me and like Courtney were talking about this because Courtney was like she was trying to make the point that like North and them live in like a bubble. So like the kind of like, this is normal to them. And I was trying to say like, even if it's normal, I think that there is I was like, you know, if my kid wants to get their nose pierced, I'm going to say you have to wait till you're a sophomore in high school, because that's when I did it. Like, if my kid's like, I want a tattoo, I'm going to be like, you have to wait till 18. I'm not signing off on anything. Even though I know there's no real harm in getting your nose pierced as a ninth grader. But I feel like just having random boundaries as a kid keeps you in check to remind you are a kid, you know, like it's part of growing up that like you
and
have
just gives
boundaries.
You more time to think about stuff like, do I really want this? Like, do I just want this because I saw somebody on TV with it, or it's just like I actually really like, you know, it gives you time to sit with yourself, to, you know, find yourself a little bit, you know what I mean? It's just like, yeah. And also just like to just having those problems. Like, I do think like certain things come with like, you know, okay, you're 18, you can take care of a tattoo. Like, you know, it's like you're, or a piercing or whatever. It's just like, I don't trust my child to like, without me helping them.
I just feel like there are certain there, it makes sense at certain times. It doesn't make sense for a seventh grader to wear a corset and to have a middle finger piercing. It might make sense for an 18-year-old. So maybe at 18, I'm like, fine, fucking do it. Or 17. But at 12, I just feel like even in the most radical, liberated, free world, I still don't think a 12-year-old should be wearing a corset with their boobs pushed up and having a middle finger piercing.
Because it, again, it robs them of a time of just not being not having to
enjoy this culture of being a kid, you know, like you're trying to get out of it.
The time of being a kid and enjoy like the world, you know, not even not seeing you as like a sex symbol or whatever. Like, it's just like, enjoy this time because it does not last. And
she's gonna crash out when she's older. I'm like,
and that is really what it comes down to. Like, it's just like people that. I think it's a fine line with kids. It's just like, you can't be overly strict or then your kid's gonna like act out when they get out. Or, but having boundaries does make you feel safe sometimes. Like, it makes you feel like, okay, like I'm protected. Like,
children want
that. My mom has my best interest. Right. You know?
Children want that. Like, I feel like one thing I find that I'm like, that it's like, I'm always reminded by, even when I was teaching, they were always just like, kids want structure. Like, they don't think the cool teacher who's like, do whatever, at the end of the day, they'd rather go into the classroom that's a little bit more structured and eventually they get it. Kids want structure. Part of being a, like, the, yes, like part of safety, part of love, part of like guidance and trust is that there's some type of boundaries. And so I feel like eventually she's going to grow up. This is my opinion and my opinion only. And like resent Kim for not giving her more of that structure because she's going to see the difference. Like Blue Ivy clearly has boundaries. She clearly has structure in her life. And I think there will be a difference of how they both are as adults. I could see a world where she's like, I actually don't like my mom, we're no contact. I love Kanye because Kanye constantly speaks out about how Kim was a bad parent and the nannies are raising her, and she's probably going to be like, I understand now.
I mean, I just, Kanye is just annoying too because he has his girlfriend half naked, like,
and it's everywhere. Like, true, but I think, like, unfortunately Kim is going to get the brunt of it. It's like, she's a Trump supporter. Sure. And it's
Kim,
like,
is
at the end
get
of the day,
the brunt of it because she's just like the primary
parent. Exactly. And at the end of the day, she has to realize she's raising a black daughter who there are, regardless of how much money you have, there's still going to be the same narratives that are placed on me as on North. So she needs to be mindful of that. Yes, we shouldn't live our life where we're just always worried about narratives. But at the same time, I would still
protect her image
when you know that you can't, that's just the life we live in. And also protect her childhood, protect her tween years.
Protect her tween years.
There's so many cute outfits you can wear that don't push your boobs up to the heavens.
And it's funny because after that day, like, she was more
covered up. I
know?
Saw that.
And
yeah,
it's just like, like, that's better. Like, you know, just again, to just protect her sanity. Like, you know, the world is all talking, like, obviously, but it's like, there are some things that you can control. You can't control what the world's going to say, but you can control
what your 12-year-old wears.
12-year-old is wearing. Like, let's be real about that.
Let's transition, because it's been 20 minutes. I wanted to briefly just talk about the cutting room floor really quickly. On trial, cutting room floor. So if y'all don't...
Just tell us about it.
If y'all aren't familiar, this is just briefly. The cutting room floor is a podcast headed by Richo, I believe is how you say it, Rachel. And she was, you know, worked in the fashion industry, and her whole thing, people love her podcast. She brings on different people from designers to photographers to stylists. And it's all like, she asks really rich questions. It's clear she's done her homework, and it's just from a different perspective. Like, I feel like it's not from your average, like, what's your favorite dress you've gotten, you know, but it's more so like, it's more so just like very technical questions. Like, she once had a photographer on it who's famous for their, like, I think it was J. Crew, like, just the look of J. Crew. And she was asking really good questions about how he curated this image of J. Crew every single time in a photograph. So she's really interesting. Regardless, moving on. Her whole thing is, her podcast is called The Cutting Room Floor. She puts it behind a paywall on Patreon. She does that because she says that the fashion industry exploits people. They don't accurately pay people for their work and their creativity. So she doesn't want to perpetuate that. She put a lot of effort into this podcast. She doesn't want to produce it for free. So it's on Patreon. So a lot of people support that. Like, they're like, hell yeah. Like, we love that. Like, it's exploitive. Like, the fashion industry needs to get better. We're going to pay for Patreon. She has a lot of subscribers, and a lot of them are particularly Black women. So like 2 weeks, maybe 2 weeks ago or last week, she posted a TikTok on a Monday being like, hey, we're hiring someone. Pay attention to this, you know, video. She describes that they're hiring someone as a studio coordinator. She says it's a junior level role. And she says that there's three main responsibilities. One is that they're going to be her personal assistant. Two, they're going to do all the bookings for the podcast, because again, they have on like famous people. And then thirdly, they're going to do like the scheduling for the like office itself. So these are three big jobs. And so she was like, you know, do not email me. Do not email my team. If you like, you will immediately go like, you know, we will immediately not hire you. I only hire people that like take instructions. She said it's an in-person role in New York City. Your hours are 9 to 6:30 p.m. So I was like, okay, let's look at the job description, right? Mm-hmm. She put the link in the bio. It's funny though, before I clicked on the link, I looked at the comments. The first comment said, this job is for 55K, by the way. So of course it took TikTok by storm, because 55K for the person responsible for doing three separate jobs in person every day in New York City. This also comes with no health insurance. I forgot to say that. There's no benefits with this. And they're paying you 55K before taxes. People were eating her up. A lot of people were saying, like, it's funny how her whole thing is like the fashion industry is so exploitive. So I put my stuff because behind a paywall because I want to get paid fairly. But then you turn around and don't pay the person fairly that you're going to hire. People are saying that it's completely cruel in New York City to hire anyone for 55K, yet alone then not include benefits. Because with taxes, it's like 49K. And then if someone is trying to pay fucking taxes, that's crazy. So she gets a lot of flack. Monday night, she goes on in TikTok Live to defend herself because people are coming at her, stitching her video left and right. She doubles down. She's like, this is a job for someone who's hungry and wants to hustle. Like, this is not for someone with kids and a family to feed. Like, this is for a person who wants, you know, to like hustle. She kept saying that. So then again, people are eating her up on that. And so my final thoughts on this are like, I feel like if you cannot afford to pay someone a livable wage with benefits, you cannot afford to hire someone. Mm-hmm. Like, that should be a boundary we all have, like, especially with health benefits. A lot of people, Dominique, you know, we love Dominique, also said, like, it's just sad because this position was not meant for any marginalized person involved. Like, she was like, I in good faith cannot recommend this job to any trans person because there's no healthcare. Like, and I'm thinking the same with like any pregnant person, any marginalized person, any person with a health condition. Like, for most marginalized people, this job is not accessible. And also, if you just like have no safety net, this is a job for a white person who either has like their parents paying for their rent or they live with their family, and this is play money. And so people were really just like going in on her about that. I agree. I think it's diabolical. I think it's terrible. She then finally addressed it on her podcast via Patreon. You had to pay to listen to it. But she basically said she's taking down the post. She is going to work with a recruiter to find somebody. She shouldn't have came to TikTok, and she didn't address like at all the low pay or the no benefits. And so people were like, oh my God, like, that's terrible. What are your thoughts?
I think that this woman is taking the brunt of what many people do. Like, unfortunately, like, it is like, the math doesn't math. Like, it just doesn't. But that is, like, I saw, like, a girl on TikTok was, like, she was, like, crying. She was, like, I wanted that job. Like,
I saw that.
She was, like, I would have applied for that. Like, I know it's not enough, but, like, that is, like, I need a job.
It's the job market. It's terrible.
And to be honest, it's just, like, yeah, like, that's basically the job that I have, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have benefits. If we really do the math, like, that's probably what I'm getting paid, you know, working at the studio. And so it's like, I do feel like, yes, you know, I do agree. It's just like, you shouldn't be in business, basically. It's like, if you can't provide livable wages
at with like health what, insurance.
Yes, livable wages with benefits, like, it's just not sustainable for people. However, that's just not the world we live in. And so I think she is getting, like, taking the brunt of this mm-hmm. when, like, this is very normal practice for many jobs.
It's because she brought it to TikTok. Nobody yeah. wouldn't have cared if she didn't bring it to TikTok. But unfortunately, if you bring it to TikTok, you're open for criticism. Yeah. You know?
So it's just like, so I think that is, that's the biggest thing. Like, I do agree. I think basically it's just like, you know, you are going to be
exploited
beyond living to paycheck to paycheck. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like exploited beyond living paycheck to paycheck, not be able to, you know, meet your basic needs. Mm-hmm. You're going to still need help. Like the mm-hmm. girl that said that she needed a job. She was like, her brother, helping yeah. her. Mm-hmm. So, but it is at the end of the day, it's something. It doesn't, the math, again, it never maths, but it feels like at least you have something coming in to pay.
I'm not mad. Bill yeah, I'm not no mad bill. At the applicant. I'm mad at the employer. Like, you know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? Like yes, of course. If you need a job, apply to whatever you need to apply to. I'm mad that any employer would ever think that is okay with someone they know living under those circumstances. That's the issue I have.
I mean,
with.
That's I just feel like sadly
it's normal, but it's still bad. Like, you know what I'm
yeah,
saying? Like,
I think it's definitely I agree. I 100% I mean, I think this is great. Like, yes, like,
it's starting
rah, rah. Like, I hope this gets to mm-hmm. my boss. Like, you know, it's not going
I mean,
to.
Yeah.
But I would, like, you know, but it's just, like, I'm, like, all for the conversation. I think that there's so much wrong with our, you know, employment, mm-hmm. weight, livable wages. Like, what? Like,
this is my thing.
Yeah.
It's, like, it really just comes down to like ideologies, because you're right. This is a normal practice. We could hire someone today to do our editing for the podcast.
No, we didn't.
I mean, like we could and lowball them. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, hey, $3 a video.
It would be an internship.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, if we really wanted to exploit somebody, we could. We could find $3 between the two of us.
I mean, that's what you call an internship.
And give it to them every week and say, this is a job, you know? However, we choose to not do that because we understand that type of work requires fair pay. Our ideologies is that we would not pay someone $3 even if they took it. That's the difference here. Like, I'm not trying to say Rachel is a bad person, but I am saying that clearly she holds an ideology that she's okay with paying someone $55,000.
Oh my God, she thinks
for
that sounds that's
no
not,
health insurance.
That's not the world we live in.
Yeah, it's not a world we live in. And it should never. And that's why I'm just like,
yes, but maybe back in the day, you could have figured something out.
Right.
You know,
so basically, like, I'm just like, because a lot of people kept bringing up being like, well, why, like, trying to, like, protect Rachel. I'm like, no. Like, I'm sorry. It's like, this is a clear violation of, like, of humanity here, where it's just like, you are willing to put someone in an impoverished salary, and then also when they break
work
their leg or if they get
yeah.
COVID or anything mm-hmm. like that, you are okay with knowing that you provided nothing for health insurance. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's no Subway stipend. I'm sure there's no
nothing, Alexis.
And so that's why I'm just like, to me, there's nothing to protect here. You, like, this is the thing. If you had put it on LinkedIn, nobody would have known about this. You would have gotten off scot-free like many other companies. You came to TikTok. That opens you up to critique, period.
But I think that's good. Like, honestly, I'm glad she brought it to TikTok, because like you said, a lot of business owners are having to look at themselves mm-hmm. and be like, oh shit, like that's what this person is doing.
Yes, you're right.
But that's so many people that, like, even if they do have benefits, you know, $65,000 with benefits is still, you're gonna be living paycheck to paycheck.
Yes, like, but she couldn't even provide that.
I know. What I'm saying is, like, even that, like, we could have a conversation about that not being, mm-hmm. you know, like, righteous or whatever. Like, that's that not being right. Like, we do need to really empty out. Like, we need to start over. Because I think we've gotten into this place where we are just in a hustle culture that, like, even with like Uber and like Uber Eats or whatever, like I was watching a video where it was just like this kind of gig economy, it takes some of the guardrails off of,
oh, absolutely,
like a delivery driver that works at Pizza Hut. So it's just like, okay, now they don't have a job or benefits like that would come with like a bigger company like that. Now it's just people working for tips. So it's just, it's everybody's so desperate. So it's just like somebody's going to take it. And sadly. And so that's why I'm just like, I'm glad that she brought it up. I'm not mad at like people.
I'm glad that people brought up the problem. She brought it up as in, we have a great opportunity. Yes, and this was another thing I forgot to say. This job is a junior level position. So she wrote in the job description, it was for someone with 2 to 3 years of experience. So that means you want someone on their fourth year of experience coming for 55K with no health insurance. That is, to me, exploited. I mean, we've agreed. It's exploited. You are, it's disgusting.
Explaining my life.
Honestly. And so that's an internship, possibly. And like also to do three separate jobs, shame on her. Like, I don't care what color she is, I don't care what gender she is. Shame on you. Take this as a learning lesson to, if you're going, like, that you're not ready to hire
just
right now.
Listen. Yeah.
You're
just
not ready to hire.
You're not ready to hire. And that's okay. Yeah.
Maybe in a year or two, you'll have enough money where you can get, raise that up to even 10K more. Give us 65K with health insurance. But
and
right now,
one employee. Right. Like, you know, my thing is like, don't live beyond your means when it has, when you have other people's livelihoods, when you're putting out a job application, like people are doing this not for play, they're doing this for their life. And so I mean, again, like I said, I could be written up as like someone that's being exploited for sure.
Absolutely. I mean, most people are exploited, but at least we can have go to the fucking doctor without paying $400.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Have Medicaid.
Right. But I'm just
I don't have insurance through my job. I don't have benefits.
What I'm saying, like, is most people I would say are exploited. Like most people are not getting paid the amount they should, period. Even if you're a fucking tech person, I'm sure. Like, I think people are underpaid across the board. But I can't imagine being underpaid and then, like you're saying, and then not making enough to even afford to go into get any insurance. That is shame.
That is why
Rachel.
But that is why Medicaid is so important, because with Medicaid, you have a zero copay for most places. You can get your medicine for zero copay. Like, and that's why it's just like with places like this country that are cutting Medicaid and benefits, and it's like, and then we have jobs like this. It's just, it doesn't make any sense. Like, again, the math ain't mathing.
The math is the math thing. And it's also just a very Republican thing to do to offer this job, Rachel. So I just hope that you
take it as a learning lesson.
Right.
Because the person's going to be stressed out trying to get to this job. They can't pay their bills.
But I don't even think that's the person that will end up with the job. This is creating an ecosystem of keeping the same like rich white people in the job. I don't think that. I think that the person that's going to get this job is going to be a rich person whose family lives in the Upper East Side, and
Alexis,
they don't. This is play money.
They're not taking that money. They're not taking that job. The sad thing about it is
because of the connections. I could see a world where they're like, I'll meet Lon Roach and I'll do it for a year. Maybe. My parents will support me, and but now I have all these connections.
Maybe, but I would guess. I would go as far to say is that girl that was crying that like really needs the job,
she wouldn't get hired.
She would probably be the person that got hired.
No, I don't think they would hire her,
because these white people are not running to do this. Like,
I do.
It's a black woman's job. I don't think so.
I'm telling you, I think that they are, because they want her connections. The cutting room floor has a lot of famous people on that show. So I think some people just want to be around
I can also see that, because, again,
fashion student at FIT.
Yes. No, that's what I was going to say. I can totally see that, because there is rich. Like, Danielle went to school with so many.
Right. Somebody from
girls
LIN.
In fashion. Mm-hmm. And they were just, you know, having
they just need
fun
the break.
Or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But sadly, it's like they don't even need the job. Exactly.
But like, you're gonna that was Dominique's whole point. Sadly, this is going to go to someone who doesn't need the job, because anyone that desperate is not going for this job. Like, they're just not.
They are. Like, it's going to be it's going to be both.
It's going to be both.
Yes. And sadly, she'll probably give it to the person that's
The fashion student who wants to do this.
That's not stress. Yeah. That's not like on their last dollar and whatever. Like, that's just.
I wouldn't get the job. Like, if I applied, I probably wouldn't get that job, because she probably wants someone who is like aligned to fashion, who knows what they're talking about.
I mean, that's okay, I think.
But I'm just saying, like, it doesn't matter how qualified you are. It comes down to like your interest in the world you want to be in and those things. So I'm saying the girl who was crying wouldn't have even got that job. She would have applied, but she wouldn't have been in that position.
Maybe she was into fashion.
Okay.
I don't
know. She's not getting the job, Samantha.
I'm assuming that the people that are applying have some sort of interest in fashion. I think that's okay.
No. Because before I think that was okay. For $55K, I was willing to apply. Like, when I was a little, I watched the whole video, because she was like, if you want to apply, listen to the whole video. The minute I saw the comment of $55K, I was like, I'm not applying.
I know, but I'm just saying, I think that that's okay in terms of like having some type of, be like, you must have an interest in fashion to work here.
Anyways. This job, unfortunately, is going to go to... Have you seen her video of the people that work in her office?
No, I don't watch this lady.
There was... No. I think I saw, like, 2 white people, 1 black girl, and then Rachel. I think this job is going to a white person that is upper middle class. But whatever.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I agree. I mean, now that you say that, I'm just like, yeah, you're probably right. It's going to go to a student that, you know... I mean, who knows?
Yeah.
They might need, like, they might be on student aid and not have it all together and still have this job. Or it could be somebody who, you know, literally they get a $10,000 budget from their parent every month. Like the people on Real Housewives. Have you watched that at all? The kids in New York?
Yes, the kids
The Real
in
Housewives.
New York.
Yeah, they'd be getting $10,000.
With
like allowances.
Money.
Anyways, what else is on trial, Lexis? You're running the ship today.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
You told me that you wanted to.
I know.
I can help you out if you want.
Help me out. Give me some else.
We need to talk about this Fifth Harmony reunion.
Oh my god, that I did want to talk about that. Yes.
All right, Alexis. Want to tell us what happened?
Yeah, so the Jonas Brothers are on tour, as people know. They've been bringing out different guests. They brought out, like, Demi Lovato. They brought out Jesse McCartney.
They did? Jesse McCartney? Did
not sing, at the same one as Fifth Harmony, but throughout the tour.
Did he sing Beautiful Soul?
I only saw the clip where he was singing, like, I'm leaving, I never come back again. You know that song?
Okay, no.
Jet Plane? It's like...
Maybe I do if I heard it.
Fly, the one to kick it high. Whatever. So they brought out Fifth Harmony. But this is on the heels of, remember, y'all, like a couple months ago, there was this whole rumor that Fifth Harmony is getting back together. So he brings out Fifth Harmony. Really, it's Fourth Harmony. Camila Cabello was not there. She's on tour for her solo career. And they sang Give It to Me, I'm Worth It. They sang Worth It and they sang Work From Home. It was a hot mess. Like, I hate to say it. Like, starting from the outfits, like, I did not think they went together other than the fact that they were all black. But, like, Normani, to me, had the best outfit. And then everybody else kind of had outfits.
Normani looked the best. Like, Normani said, I'm not going to be out here looking a mess.
Well, Normani's in, like, superstar shape. You know, like, she looks like she's working, as Dominique said. And so it's just, like, I feel like... So the outfits were kind of uncoordinated.
Alexis, why am I... I looking at pictures, I'm like, oh
and
my
then
God.
They also just like they just were not pristine, like with their dancing, like it wasn't like they were not in sync, like in sync. And then they were singing to the backtrack of the song with Camila Cabello still at the forefront of the song, and so it was just like they just
off.
Were not ready. But this is the thing that really, really got me. Normani, come to the front. Like, this is the thing. Normani, you had Dopamine. Me and Samantha, you know, as you know,
we
Normani.
Reviewed the
we
whole
did
album.
A review. We loved it. We think you're
waiting.
A superstar. We say it all the time. You for you to do no promo for that album, for you to have no fucking music video, for you to walk out on the fucking BET Awards because your foot hurt, for you to do no performance, but you come back for a reunion for the Fifth Harmony. And y'all, this is launching now a second run for Fifth Harmony. Like, they reopened their like Instagram account. They posted something saying coming soon. They dropped merch. They rebranded the logo Fifth Harmony. Like, this is starting a run of like an album, a tour. Like, this is
I hate it.
And I'm just like, what is what happened to your solo career, Normani?
I literally asked Alexa, I'm like, does she have like a contract she needs to finish with them? Because I don't understand. Like, it pains me, honestly, because to be a Normani fan, it's very hard. Because what?
Like, she doesn't take anything seriously.
Well, it's like you're taking the weird stuff seriously, like Fifth Harmony. Like, honestly, I thought you were done with that. I thought that I always felt like, you know, she experienced a lot of racism. And
that's what
like,
she said.
You know, just, and maybe it was just with Camilla, because now that she's not there, maybe she's like, okay with being there. But either way, you broke out and were supposed to be doing your solo career. You're supposed to really go out and do that. And then maybe do a reunion. It's like Beyonce did with Destiny's Child. She had her first album, video, the whole nine performances. Mm-hmm. That's where we got, you know, our baby boy performances, our Crazy in Love. And then she puts out Destiny's Fulfilled. Like, you know, it's like, that's what we were waiting for. And so it just is so heart-wrenching to see her on stage, finally.
You do a live performance for this.
And like, looking amazing. Like, I hate amazing. You're dancing, you for look amazing life. Yes, you're doing the Beyonce whatever and it's just like, and you look great, but you're doing it for Fifth Harmony. You're not doing it for yourself.
What's wrong with Normani? Like, I'm literally at the point where I'm like, what's wrong with her?
Because
I'm
just think like there's some self-sabotaging or sabotaging of her career.
Because I'm like,
else.
Yes, what? Fifth Harmony was big. And yes, Fifth Harmony had a bigger career than your career. But you were just
getting started.
Exactly. You were just getting started. And this is kind of unfortunately looked at as you kind of flopping, right? It's like you had to go back to Fifth Harmony without the main girl at the time, which was Camilla, even though, you know, we love Normani. But Camilla was the face of the group at the point, at their highest. And so it's like just it. Like... And so it's just like, she didn't even choose to come back. Like, to me, it's like, essentially, this is what it's like. I'm not trying to make, be careful when I say this, that I'm not trying to say she is like this person, but I'm saying it is like this theoretically. Fifth Harmony, Normani was always my favorite, but the it girl, the person who had the like lead vocals of Fifth Harmony was Camila Cabello. She was always in the center. She was like the Beyonce of Destiny's Child. She was that for Fifth Harmony. So her choosing not to come back for this reunion is essentially if Destiny's Child came back and the head person, Beyonce, said, y'all can go on tour, I'm not coming. This is embarrassing for Normani. She should not be doing this. And I don't think the rebrand of Fifth Harmony is going to work out without Camila Cabello, unfortunately, because that was the girl of the group. And unfortunately, I think this is going to be a flop. I think this is going to be embarrassing for her. And I'm not trying to be mean, but those girls were not keeping up with Normani. Normani was dancing, okay? We're talking like hitting the dance move, like whipping the hair, winding the hips, like those girls did not have the stamina to do it. I don't care what shape they are, whatever. They are not in dancing shape. You know, they're not in,
and it's like
stamina
I'm watching
shape.
It right now, and it's just like, it's not terrible. Like, they're
not, just
not
hitting
they're,
it.
They're, it's like they're still on beat, but they're not. I mean, like you said, Normani looks like a star. She looks like freaking Beyonce, a child of Beyonce.
Yes.
And it's just like,
the corset,
what are you
the body.
Doing? Like, it's just like, okay, do you want to. Like, it's almost giving, like, okay, now she can be the lead singer of this group. And it's
they need
like,
to be pushing her as the lead.
But
like,
she doesn't need, like, just be solo. Like, that's what I'm saying. I'm just like, what is happening?
I think Normani is scared to come, like, scared. I think this is what I think. Actually, no, this is what I think. It is clear that Fifth Harmony had a backing, right? Fifth Harmony, would go on like the beat, you know, like they did the late night shows. They did the live performances. They were at every music awards doing a live performance. They got the awards. Like, they clearly had a backing and a machine behind them. I don't think Normani has that. And so I think that part of me thinks that Normani is like, it's easier to push my solo music if I go back to them. Like, we'll go on tour with Fifth Harmony with our new album, and then maybe I'll get to sing some songs for Dopamine, and I'll have the power of Fifth Harmony behind me. That's what I think she's thinking. Mm-mm. I don't know, though.
Well, I think that that's misled, because I feel like... I know Soleil was telling us like how it just like costs so much money to like make videos and basically like make the opportunity for herself. Like, I'm just like, I know that there was different award moments where she could have performed. First of all, she has performed solo. She did great. And so it's just, again, it just, it really sucks to like be a Normani fan that like sees her potential and like wants her to win. And like Dopamine was lit. Like we never got a video for Candy Paint. We never got a performance of any of those songs. Like, at least, like, I mean, even the Spotify thing, like, somebody could have recorded that and put that on YouTube or something. Like, we just... Like, you're not feeding us.
Even her sit-down interview with that guy, like, it wasn't an accessible interview, like, easy for, like, Apple. It was, like, she has yet to do, like, a late-night thing. She has yet to go to Jennifer Hudson. Oh, no, she did after, like, 6 months later. Like, she has yet to do...
And she went on... She did Jimmy Fallon with that song. She did? Or whatever.
Oh.
But that was with the slow song that was before the...
Oh, with Fair. She didn't do it with Dopamine. Like, she did... Like, she should have been on SNL. She should have, like, you know, been the, like, singer that week and then did her... Like, she... But Fifth Harmony has done things like that. That's what I'm just saying. Like, it's sad, but I feel like, unfortunately, this is looking like your solo career flops and now you're going back to the group. Rather it than... It didn't flop, right? You didn't give it any real chances. Like, and honestly, Normani, if you drop a video for Candy Paint, it's not going to hit anymore. It's been, what, a year? of radio silence? Come on, oh, dog. Like, come on. But you come out to give it to me, I'm worth it. Like, you're better than that.
And it's not a one-off thing. My thing is, like, like Demi Lovato came out, you know, one-off.
Yes. It was not.
Jonas Brother. This is, like, we're coming soon. I'm like,
this is
nobody
relaunching.
Wants this. Okay? I know. I want another Normani album. Like...
Anyway. It's so real. Like, this is relaunching Normani. Like, they have rebranded the logo. They said coming soon. They have merch. Like, they are dropping an album. They are going on tour. They are back.
No. I don't want it. Like, I don't want it. Okay, last thing that I want to get your thoughts on real quick. And I know you don't really care about this person. But this past week, we did get the news about Taylor and Travis engagement. And so I'm curious, like, your thoughts. Do you have any?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know what, congratulations to the couple. We love a 30-year-old engagement rather than a 20-year-old engagement. So yeah, she's beat that. But I think that one thing I was thinking was, like, I've seen a lot of TikTok. The side of TikTok I'm on with their engagement is that everyone keeps saying, like, it's clear that this is Taylor's dream guy, but it's not his dream girl. And that, like, it's clear he's attracted to Black women. It's clear that, like, that has been his vibe until he met her. But for Taylor, the narrative and the story and the fantasy she's always had is that she's with the football player. She was, like, she's an overlooked girl and she always wanted to be with the football player, and now she's got him. And so she was even playing into that with the announcement, like, being like, your English teacher's with your PE teacher. Like, yeah, there's a fantasy with her in, like, football and, like, sports guys. And so I think that she's probably very happy. I think this works well for her brand because she's, like, officially, like, feeding into that narrative even more so. And I think it works for his brand because he's with an A-list star. I mean, he's on an American Eagle campaign this week. You know, it's like he would have never gotten that without her. And so that's my thoughts on it. Like, congrats. I'm glad that you're 30-something getting engaged rather than 20-something because it's clear you've dated. And then also I think that he is with her because she's Taylor rather than maybe other
people. Yeah, I think for both of them, this is like a career thing. Like,
Like, somebody was like, who would Taylor Swift, like, really be with? Like, I don't know. And like you said, like, it fulfills a certain fantasy of, like, mm-hmm. oh, she got the guy. Mm-hmm. And, but I do think, you know, it's just like, okay, she is in her 30s. Like, people probably like, okay, when is she going to get married? Like, you know, mm-hmm. like, what's next for her? It's interesting that, you know, like, I kind of feel like for both of them, like, I'm on the side of TikTok where they're just like, Travis is basically, you know, doing what works for, like, his family, or like what the expectations of his family is to, mm-hmm. like, marry and have kids with, like, mm-hmm. a white woman or whatever. Mm-hmm. And Taylor has, like, the expectations of the world of, mm-hmm. like, you know, getting married one mm-hmm. day. And mm-hmm. it's funny. There's also, like, I also randomly saw a video about, they were, like, they think that Taylor's, like, LGBT, like, she's, like, in the community.
Oh,
like,
I have some intel on that, but I can't say it on this.
And then she's, like, that's, like, a part of her plan of, like, gonna, like, this is, like, the height of the performance of, you know, okay, I'm, you know,
to
going
to get a divorce?
On,
like, she's about to get a divorce, like, eventually?
Yes, and then, like, go and be a lesbian, like, come out one day.
That is a lot of ruining your life and doing a lot to do that.
I mean, I just, I don't know. I mean, I agree. I don't know if that's, like, the plan, but I do, I don't know. I feel like this is, I don't know much about either of them. You know, like, I don't know their personalities. I feel like none of us really see, we'll never really see how they are behind closed doors. I think it is weird that he has clearly had a preference.
Yeah, I think he
and
does.
Some people were like, his preference is going to keep on preferencing. Like,
yes, that's exactly what I said. I was like, I mean, you can, whatever. I'm sure he loves her. But if you put her and him in a room with the black girl and Taylor, and they said, do a lap dance, there would be a difference at the end of the lap dance. That's all I want to say.
Ew, not a difference at the end of the lap
dance. There would. And I'm not trying to be vulgar, but I'm just saying, like, I think he's, like, sexually attracted to black women. Mm. He likes black women's curves. He likes our skin. He likes our, probably, our, you know, our demeanor, our swag, right? Our little attitude, our flirtiness. He probably loves it all. You know, just our spiciness we bring sometimes. Like, we are not bland people. And so I just feel like he probably loves Taylor and loves all the things that he brings. And I'm sure that, you know, he also likes, you know, doing other stuff with her. But I think there's a difference.
The last thing I was going to say is, like, did you see that girl? Like, how people were, like, crying and, like,
about what?
It's just, like, how they're so happy that she's engaged.
Yes, I follow, like, this whitewashed black girl, basically, is the best way to say it. And she's like, oh my god, like, the, you know, like, I screamed when I, it's like, I don't give a shit. Like, I literally Julia texted me, like, Taylor Swift's engaged. I was like, oh really? She was like, yeah, they just released it. I'm like, oh, okay. And then eventually a couple of days later on Twitter, I saw the picture. And then
what do you think about the ring?
It looks like a very normal ring to me. I mean, it's big, but I feel like it's the classic, like, gold band diamond.
Is it classic? I think it's, like,
in my mind,
it's a little old school.
For me,
in
my mind, a classic ring is a gold band with one diamond on it. Anything more than that, you're sizing it up. I feel like most people have a gold band or a silver band, one diamond on it. That's what she got. Like, I could draw it.
It's also just funny how, like, you know, everything is a part of, like, I think that'll get old for Travis, everything being just so, like, calculated. Like, apparently they were engaged a long time ago. They put out these pictures. They're both in Ralph Lauren. You know, the next day he launches this American Eagle campaign.
Yes, everything's
She's
strategic.
About to drop her album.
Album, yeah.
Football season's about to start.
Yes, come
you
on.
You know, like, it's all a part
this is
of this.
Yes.
You know, a plan or
yes,
whatever.
It's a machine. They are a machine now. It's like Beyonce and Jay-Z became, like, a machine, right? When they came together and, like, it became, like, every drop, everything with their picture we saw, everything was strategic. This is now that, you know?
I don't feel the realness between them. I do kind of feel like it started out as a PR relationship. And it's just like, okay, this is really working well for both of y'all.
Yeah, I feel like I will be more interested in the queer, in the divorce, in the queer switch up. That's when I'll tap in and actually start reporting, okay? But until then.
And then it's also kind of weird, too. Like, I mean, let's not forget, like, I just think that Travis, Kelce, and they have definitely been in that Republican space.
Well, yeah.
And
I mean, NFL is a Republican space.
I know, but like more so than lately. You know, when he was with the black girls, it wasn't giving all of that. Now it's like giving mustache, like January 6th mm-hmm. aesthetic, mm-hmm. whatever. Mm-hmm. American Eagle right mm-hmm. after all the eugenic stuff.
That was shocking to me that I was like, this is a choice. And AZ Fudd was in there and I was like, AZ, get out of there. But anyway.
I don't know who that is.
She's a St. John's alumni. She's going to be a WNBA player next year. She's a black girl. She plays for UConn, but she's like pretty famous now because of they won the national championship. She dates Paige Beckers. But I say that to say, I was shocked she was in it. Cause I'm like, AZ, they just had a terrible racist ass campaign. Why are you on this? But whatever.
Yeah. I just was going to say and then I saw Trump said something about her. Like it's just
Trump hates her.
But he said something nice about her.
Probably because he likes Travis, but he hates her as a person. He tweets about her terribly.
But he recently was just like, oh, like she's a really good person. Like, you know,
she's
like
so fake, yeah.
And it's just is it because she's getting on this train of getting married and having a baby? Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, last year she was a single cat lady. Now she's a married woman.
She's gonna be a married woman. She's gonna be a kept woman. Well, like I said, I can't wait to see what lies ahead for their future. And
I want somebody to really break down the Taylor Swift of it all.
Like what do you mean?
I don't get it. And I want somebody
get
to
what? Like their relationship?
Get her. Just get her lore. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like.
People I mean, like I she think has... it's as simple as this.
But wait, I just wanted to say, like, people are like, you know, there's Easter eggs everywhere. Yeah. And everything's like intentional mm-hmm. and da da da. I'm like, is there?
I think for some people it is. Like, but I think we feel like that about Beyonce. Like, I think
but
that,
I
like,
think that it's actually.
Happening. I think that she gave, like, like a pathway at the time. Like, I feel like everything for Taylor, I think, is in context. If Taylor Swift, like, launched right now, the way she was branded in 2010 when she came out, or 2009, whatever it was, she would flop. But I feel like at the time, she was, like, gave voice to, like, the teenage girl who felt like they liked who felt like just not the pretty girl, like, you know, like, and that's the majority of people, even pretty girls feel that way. And so I say that to say she marketed her in like a classic, like Girl Next Door. She plays the guitar. She sings about like, you know, it's a love story. Just say it. You know, it's like, I think that like people ate that shit up. And then she really thinks this is rude to say, but I was going to say she really thinks she's smart, but I don't know if she's not smart. But I think that people do think that like she writes really well. And so she like says things in songs and then follows up in an album later. I don't know. I don't get her lore, but I do think, but I can see the marketing and branding that gets her to be this stardom. And so that's why to me, maybe it doesn't make sense talent wise or singing wise. I'm not going to say talent, but singing wise, but branding alone makes total sense to me why she has a lore and an aura.
I think because the Beyonce of it all comes with such a great product.
Yes, but that's racism.
I know. I guess, but I guess that's why it's just like, it just falls so flat for me. Like, mm-hmm. I'm really in it for
mm-hmm. the full talent. Package. Yeah.
But I think that just to be like,
it's all marketing. One day there should be a marketing class that's centered around like the rise of Taylor Swift, like the stardom of it. Because I think that like the packaging she came out with in 2009, the songs they like led for that first album single. I mean, she got album of the year, I think, that year she came out. Like, I think at the Grammys as like an age 16-year-old, you know what I'm saying? Or 17, whatever she was. Like, the branding of Taylor Swift is a machine.
I don't even think
you have to listen to it. I think you need to look at the package. I don't think the songs were that fucking good is what I'm saying. But I'm saying how they marketed her allowed her to sell itself.
I also, I'm not gonna lie, I think that her music is just so for young kids.
It's for white people. I've never saw myself in Taylor Swift's music.
But like white kids too. Like, you know, like you said, like that tween.
Yes,
you know,
it was perfect branding. That's what I'm saying. Like, she was walking around with Selena Gomez at that time. Like, you know, like she was dating a Jonas brother, like a Harry Styles when he was in that One Direction. Like, her branding was fantastic to get her to here, you know?
It just still really confuses me.
So it's not about talent. I guess that's what I want you to get out of your mind. Like, whatever. There's people that will argue with you. I'm not trying to to me, it's not about talent. The rise of her comes from the packaging of her. She was a blonde haired girl singing about how a boy doesn't like her with a guitar. She was dating a Jonas brother. She's friends with Selena Gomez. Like, she's the total package in that
And
way.
People don't see through the...
We do because we live on the margins. We
but
see,
people
we
don't
in
see
a way.
Through like her being like, oh no, like everybody's cheering for me.
No, but that's because we as people who are not white and like we show up differently. So I feel like we perceive behaviors differently and we understand that like how, like what she's doing is an act. It just falls differently to white people. Like, I just don't know how to explain it. I'm sure there's somebody who has a good article about it, but yeah. I think really because her music was never marketed to us.
Do you think she's a nice person?
I mean, all I know is that, I don't know. I can't say that for anyone. I can't say that about Beyonce either. Like, I can't make a judgment on anything because everyone is performing. Taylor Swift is performing Taylor. Beyonce is performing Beyonce. We will never get the full authentic version of themselves. And of course, what they're going to perform is that they're kind. So the only thing I can go off of that's not performance is that Taylor Swift rides a jet for like 5 minutes, you know?
Will not wait in traffic.
Right. I know that she does that. So, like, I can talk about that. But I just feel like no one is giving us their true authentic self. So I'm not going to say she's a nice person, but I'm going to also say the same for anyone else unless I've met them.
What is that song? Romeo. You know that song?
Yeah, I think that's Love Story. I think that was the one I was saying. Like, she's like, it's a love story. Like, I'm like, not like, they don't like me. I'm on the bleachers. You know, like she's marketed so well. That's what I'm saying. Like, it would be a good marketing class.
And that's why people are kind of like weird about like how she's like now starting to be showgirls. She's like, you were never like the sexy girl.
Yeah, you were telling us that, you know, people didn't like you. You were on the bleachers while they were running laps. Like, you know, like you were talking about people being mean to you. Why you have to be so mean? Like, she was talking about things like that. So it is a
switch. Why you have to be mean?
I think that's
that a real song?
I think so. It's like, why you gotta be so mean? I think it's that.
And then, of course, the Kanye of it all made her like a perfect.
Yes, and that's the perfect. That's what I'm saying. Like, the marketing around this woman is fantastic because even that moment, they were able to seize it in a way that promoted her, skyrocketed her at that moment. You're right. It's just like, it all comes down to marketing for Taylor. Like, I don't care to listen to a song. I care to really look into
the fact
that marketing.
Like racism, like racism. The whiteness, the mm-hmm. whiteness of it all. Mm-hmm. The white womanness of it all is like
all
so
of it goes into her package,
weird.
And that's why I've never fucked with her because I noticed that from high school. Like, I was just like, this is not somebody who's for me, and I don't think she wants.
I mean,
to be
even
for
the
me.
Even the video, like when the thing happened with Taylor Swift. First of all,
yeah, she was standing there like,
and like I agreed with Kanye. Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
like,
Single Ladies deserved it. That's an iconic video. People still wear the leotard and do the dance. Like, to this day, I couldn't even tell you the song that Taylor had that won it over. That is the crazy part. But I know right. that Single Ladies lost.
Right. And it's like this black man snatching this like mic out of her hand. And like,
yeah, I mean.
And then Beyonce had to bring her up on stage and mm-hmm. give her the moment, but whatever. Anyways,
she's fascinating to me in that way, but I don't know how she is as a person. I'm sure
I think
she's,
that's when Beyonce and her, I think that's when like
some type of friendship or connection
not
started.
Even friendship, but like them even being on the same playing field.
Yes, yes. Started. Because she won over her. I mean, to this day, the fact that Taylor Swift, I think, has the most album of the year awards over, we're talking Stevie Wonder, Whitney Houston, like we can even forget about Beyonce, over Michael Jackson. Like, this is someone who has album of the years over, like, iconic people.
That in drives this, me crazy.
Like, it is shocking, but
that's a whole
when we talk about the Grammys this season, when we talk about it, we'll get into the Grammy voters and everything, but that's crazy. But we should wrap it up.
Okay, let's wrap it up here. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you guys for bearing with us on our week off while I was sick with COVID.
Yes, y'all.
Wear your mask. Feel free to donate to us on our Cash App. The link is in our bio. You can go to our website. You can send us a message on our website, or you can send us an email at whoamitojudgepod@gmail.com and send us a question or something you want us to talk about, and we will do that. Thank you guys for listening.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you so much for listening. Remember to email us your discussion topics at whoamitojudgepod@gmail.com. Also, remember to subscribe to Who Am I to Judge podcast on Spotify and everywhere you get your podcasts. If you love us, please rate us and review. And if you don't, leave us alone. Tell a friend to tell a friend. See y'all next week. Bye, friends.